for a few minutes. That's what Christian education, I think we've just about gotten everything. We just need to be encouraged now to go out and do what we learned. I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. For His great grace. I thank the Lord for saving me. Praise the Lord. This morning we were looking at in 2 Timothy, and we were also looking at Matthew this morning. And, being entangled. And I want to look in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to use this scripture this morning. Then I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to be done for this morning. I thank God for everybody who's here. I thank God for Sister Gamble, for Damascus, and Nicole being back for the summer. It's good to have Brother Jones with us today, and Brother Sturgis, you know, Elder Sturgis. And who was ordained in his church, and I thank God for him and Elder Sister Sturgis, as a matter of fact, for him coming. Good to have Minister Smith with us today, and who's working some things out, really doing well in her Women of Faith and Power, Elder Smith, of course, and Elder Reed, our financial administrator. And good to have Timaeus back, Paul Timaeus, back from the summer. And it's just good to be here for all of you who are on Zoom and everywhere you are. And I'm encouraging everyone this morning. We were reading the scripture in Revelation this morning as Paul wrote letters. Not Paul, I'm sorry. John wrote the letters in Revelation that Jesus gave him. Jesus is the person who instructed John in Revelation. When he was caught up, he says, I am he who was and who is and who is to come. And he's Alpha and Omega, referring to Jesus Christ. And Jesus told John to write these letters to the churches at that particular time about different issues. And when you read those letters, they cover every issue we have today. Yes. And the letter today in particular was written to the church in Laodicea. And the problem that he saw in the church in Laodicea was that they were just, when he calls them lukewarm, he says, they're supposed to be rich and they're supposed to be thanks to God, but they don't live like it. And we're preaching and trying to betray Christ, but we're betraying the world at the same time. And Jesus makes a statement to him, they need to be hot or cold. Either they need to be completely in the Lord, or they need to recognize that they're not in God.
Yes.
And we have so many people who, you know, who, if you would say to them, they tell you, I am not lukewarm. Well, you know, you need every one of us, especially me, because he talks about being chastened and all this. You need to be the sort of person that the Lord can tell you where you're coming up short.
Yes.
You ought to want to know when you're coming up short. There's a scripture in Hebrews where Paul says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest. Some of us should seem to come short of it.
Yes.
And you don't want to come up short.
No, I don't.
We were born short of the glory of God, as it says in Romans, for all of us come of our sin and come short of the glory of God. That's not referring to what we've done. That refers to how we were born.
Yes.
We were born in sin and short of the glory of God. Why short of the glory of God? Because we were created in God's image to portray His glory and be in the glory of God.
Yes.
And now we're coming up short. And without the Holy Spirit, you continue to come up short. And so Paul makes the point. He says, let us therefore fear. Let us have a great concern. Lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest. And he's referring to people who are saved and sanctified, people who are supposed to know the difference between what is holy and unholy. Those are the people who really feel like they're on their way to heaven. He wrote also in 1 Corinthians, I think, the 10th, 11th chapter, he talks about them. And he talks about them being, even though they were baptized in a cloud and in the water, he says, even they, you know, he says, they, many of them God was not well pleased because they fell in the wilderness. And you don't want to be somebody that God is not pleased with.
Amen.
Lift your hands and tell the Lord, say, Lord, please be pleased with me.
Lord, please be pleased with me.
Yes, Jesus had this confession. He says, the Father has never left me alone because I do always those things that please Him. And if you're ever feeling like, well, I'm alone and God has abandoned me, you need to ask yourself, am I still pleasing to God? And then God is more faithful than we are. And if you're pleasing to God, don't ever let the devil tell you that the Lord has abandoned you.
Yes.
God will, you know, he said, I'll be with you while you be with me. And I think that's fair. He wrote that over, I think, in Jeremiah 1 of them. He said, I will be with you. I'll be with you as long as you be with me. And God is faithful. So he, we have to find out from time to time, you know, are we pleasing to God? Listen, being caught up when Jesus comes, or if you should die before he comes, waking up in heaven in your immortality is way too important.
Yes.
To lightly take it. I mean, there's nothing that else that you do in your existence from this point forward that's more important than making sure that you're with Jesus when he comes, or that you find yourself with him should you die before he comes. There's nothing more important to a living being's life than preparing himself for eternal life. I want to encourage everybody, you know, and the thing that I seem to be working in the jurisdiction with various churches that I can't get preachers to understand, can't get pastors to understand. You're so caught up in the doing, you know, preachers and pastors in Gulf Coast, many of them are so caught up in the doing of being in CLGI, which is a good organization, I ain't knocking that, being caught up in your local churches, in the coming in and going out, and the rudiments of the law and the things you're doing, and everybody needs a good church. I'm not knocking any of that. But those things only have a worth when they point you towards eternal life.
Right, amen.
You're settling for the consolation prize. We can beggarly elders and sell us, and I said that's what the Bible says. When Israel, when God led Israel, there was the promise, and there were promises. And the promises were the land that flowed with milk and honey, where they would be comfortable and fed and taken care of and would worship God until they came into the promise, which was eternal life. There's promises in our life that we will live well, that we'll prosper, that we'll have good health, that we'll continue and life will be okay, our joy and our peace, until we see Jesus and we get the promise.
Yes, amen.
Which is everlasting life. So when we looked at the church this morning in Laodicea, he was saying to them, he says, many of you, he says, there's a problem. He says, I don't want to have anything to do with many of you because you're pretending that you're in the Lord and you're not. You know, when he talks about being lukewarm, it isn't you belong to two or three churches or you can't make your mind about it. No, he's flat out right saying, you're saying that you live saved and you don't.
Yes.
And he says, I have a problem with that. He says, because like I told him before, you know, I can heal blind people if they know they're blind, but since you say you're seeing, there's nothing to heal. I can save sinners if you say you're a sinner.
Right.
Just don't want to say you're cold and say, I need to be saved, and I can save you. But if you're pretending to be hot so that you won't ask me to save you, you're pretending to be holy so you won't ask me to wash you, you're pretending to be righteous so you won't ask me to cleanse you, you're holding up this image that you're some great one in God when really you're just as much in the world as the people are in the world. He says, there's nothing I can do with you.
Right.
You're not saved and you won't come to me to be saved.
Right.
You're so busy protecting your image. You don't want the people around you to know that you need to say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. You are so, you know, your title is such that you can't come to it. You'll do a curse. I ask the Lord to wash me every day, but do you really?
Right, yes.
So that we see a change in you.
Yeah.
Listen, when God makes a change in you, it is not hidden. What's on the inside shows up on the outside. And if I keep seeing the same outside that I've always seen, I know there's no change. Because when God makes a change, it is so profound that the outside can't hold it on the inside. When God moves in you, it's noticed. That's why some people won't let the Lord move, because you're concerned that the people that you like to be around and like to do things with on the world or your job or whatever, you're concerned about an image that you would have that would be displeasing to the world. How silly is that?
All right.
What will they think of me on my job if they find out that I'm Holy Ghost filled and speak in tongues? What will it look like to my family when I explain to them, I think I'm being called to preach? What would it look like How will they receive it when I go to school and they talk about rap and I say to them, I don't listen to rap?
Yes.
Maybe a little gospel rap, if you guess for the young people. But I'm, you know, and everybody's mourning over Tupac Shakur, and I'm saying, and I'm the only person here who's saying, hey, you know what? He was not a great person.
Yeah, no.
Let's just call it what it is.
No.
He was not a great person. Nothing against him personally. But he wasn't leading people to eternal life.
No.
Like so many other people who are not.
Yeah.
And if I stand up and say that, then what will they think of me? There are so many things that we have to do, so I'll pretend like I'm all right with it. You're lukewarm.
Yes.
You need to make up your mind which one you're going to do.
Right.
So he says in Galatians chapter 1, because we don't want to be wrapped up in that. Just tell them the truth. Hey, look, I don't, you know, I feel very comfortable saying if I don't like a certain amount, I don't like 50s music. I don't like Benny Goodman and all that. I don't like it. If you like it, go ahead, but I don't. And I don't mind saying to someone, I don't like it. I'm not into the accordion as an instrument. Shonda doesn't like saxophones. I keep saying she just doesn't like soprano and alto saxes. If she ever heard tenor saxes and thinks she might like them. But you have to be honest about it. It's just, you don't like really, what you going to do? You going to shoot me because I don't like cottage cheese? I'm going to kill you because you don't like chitlins? What's the problem here? And we have to teach people who are in God to be able to say, you know what? I just don't like that. So did you see such and such a movie? Well, no, I started to watch it, but they were so profane. What stops it? Why does a young person have to like profanity?
That's right. It's popular.
You know, why must I like profanity? Because I'm in high school. And if you're around me all the time and the F word is your favorite word, I don't like being around you. I don't mind saying it. You're okay as a person, but your mouth, I just...
Yeah.
I just can't deal with it. I just don't like it.
Right.
You think you're special because you don't like it? Well, leave it. Just go your way. Because you'll never be able to convince. You know, it's difficult to convince a sinner who doesn't want to leave sin that they're wrong.
Right. Yes.
They're always on the defense. You can't say anything to them. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Blank. I didn't even go there. I didn't say you weren't anything. I just said I didn't like the language you were using. It's that simple.
Yes.
Well, those are choices and things you have to make. But he says in this, when he talks about in 5, because of all those of us who were saved, he was writing to the Galatians saying, so let me preface this so somebody said, well, that ain't what Paul was talking about in Galatians. It is what he was talking about. He was talking to the Galatian saints. The Galatians were Gentiles. They were never Jewish. They were not under the law. They did not come under the Ten Commandments at any time. They did not have to keep the ordinance because they were Gentiles. They were given to idolatry. They served idol gods, gods other than Jehovah God. They were not of the lineage of the Jews. They were not under Moses' law in any way, shape, or form. And when Paul went to the Gentiles and Galatia in that region and preached Christ to them, they received the Holy Spirit and were saved because they believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believed that so much that the Holy Ghost came in and saved them and washed and cleansed them, and the Holy Spirit dwelt in them. They never went to the temple. They never offered up a dove or a turtle dove. Not to Jehovah. They might have done it in an altar service. But they were never involved in temple worship. It didn't matter to them about the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't worry about the mercy seat because they had the mercy seat dwelling here.
Yes.
They went before the mercy seat that was in heaven because they had the Holy Ghost. Paul preached the gospel to them because when Jesus Christ had come, he had done away with the law, as it says in Ephesians, because the law represented him, and he fulfilled it.
Yes.
So the shadow of the law and the symbolism of the law was no longer needed because they had the real person in Jesus Christ. And he explained to them that when you call on Jesus Christ and accept him as the Son of God and accept his powerful death just like we do in his burial and his resurrection, when you accept his resurrection, it becomes yours. And if you ask the true God, Jehovah God, God the Father to save you because you believe that he resurrected his Son, God the Father will save you and the Holy Ghost will come in and a new experience, a change will come. You'll be a new creature and you will know that something different has happened to you.
Yes.
But if you don't continue in that way, then the newness wears off because we are human.
Yes.
And humans don't retain anything.
That's right.
We are fleeting and we're dying. We have to have the Holy Ghost building us and keeping us alive day by day.
Right.
Day by day. That's why you can't, you know, if you get saved and stop coming to church, stop being involved in the worship, stop worshiping God, it won't be long before you'll stop being pleasing to God and the Holy Ghost will leave you because you'll stop serving God.
Yes, that's true. That's
right. He's not something you can take home and put in your freezer.
No.
So then, you know, so the Galatian saints had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in his powerful resurrection so that they were saved. And they were running on for God and the word of God. And the church people from Jerusalem, the Pharisees that declared that they were the only church that anybody could be saved by, came down to explain to them how they were the only great house and everybody needs to believe on them. And going their way, and the Pharisees came down to them and said, you're not saved unless the men are circumcised. Where circumcision was under the law. It marked a covenant between Abraham and God that set Abraham and his house separate from all the other Gentiles and idolaters in the area. That's what it was all about. It made it be so. This is why when Moses was found in the river, this is why Pharaoh's daughter immediately said, this is one of the Hebrew children.
Yes.
Because she could see that he had been circumcised and the Egyptians didn't do that.
Yes.
Well, the Jews had gotten to the point where they didn't understand that the circumcision of the foreskin of the males represented the cleansing of the heart, which is what they were supposed to get. And by the time Jesus comes along, who himself is circumcised the 8th day, but he puts an end to that so that what it represented was stripping away sin from the heart, changing the person.
Yes.
That's the circumcision that we have that is by the Spirit. And all of us have it, men and women.
Yes.
If you're in God, that circumcision we all have. It is just tearing away the flesh from the heart of the uncleanness or the ungodliness of the heart. The heart meaning not the blood pumper, but the core of you, the you of you.
Yes.
You're not supposed to just be somebody who's adjusted and shapen. You're somebody that we feel like the Holy Ghost to come in. You change.
Yes.
He changes you. You want the change. You want the new person that can't be drawn out. You want the new person who doesn't get as angry. You want the new person that can find peace when you're hurt. You want the new person that will turn to God when you're going through. You want the new person that can hear the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit of God. You want to be new.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
No saved person. Unless they just aren't taught. You know, I get it. And I understand the problem that the Galatians were going through. You have all these church people bearing down on them, going,
now you're saved, now you need to do this, you need to do that.
There are some things you need to do when you're saved. But those things the Holy Ghost gives you to do, one of the first things you do when you're saved, if you notice, because I've been around for a while, one of the first things that you do when you're saved is you want to come to church. When you get really saved, you want to come to church. You had a good time this week, you want to come back.
Yes.
And the devil, with people outside, try to give you reasons not to show up again. And then when you do press your way and show up, then you have the Pharisees sitting here telling you what you must do in church. So church stops being good.
Right, yes.
And you stop enjoying it. Because the Pharisees start telling you, you need to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, but they didn't tell me how to do that. And you don't. So what do you mean the Pharisees said? They start telling you how you need to come in. And how you need to love this church above all else. Well, you know what? I hope this is a good church and I hope the people who are in it love it. But don't be wearing down on me every time you get up and preach and start telling me how great your church is and how I must love it. And how I need to be in it and how you loved it all your life, so I must love it. Maybe I do love it, but don't make that be a requirement.
Right.
Who I have to love is God.
That's right.
And if I love God enough and you preach God enough, I'll love your church.
Because
your church should be in God. But don't make it a law and a demand.
Right.
And stand up and tell me you either love this church or leave this church. You know what? You've gone on your own. You've done something that God doesn't do.
That's right.
And you make it be so hard. So when Jesus came along, he told me, he said, take my yoke, hook up with me. and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. It's not with all these laws and all these things that they got. You know, you got to, you need to be here. You write a whole book about all. You need to show up over here. You need to show up over there. If you don't show up over here and show up over there, we'll talk about you like a dog. And we'll make it look like you're not with us. It doesn't matter whether I'm with you or not. I'm with God. And if all of us are with God, then we're all together.
Right, yes, amen. Yes.
They don't like that either.
Right, yes.
So the Judaizers, the Pharisees, came down to lay the law down to the saints in Galatia.
Yeah.
And tell them what they need to do according to them. Yeah. Well, you know, the Holy Ghost was already telling the people they need to live holy. They'd gotten that. They were born again. They had the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. They were on fire for God. The Lord was leading them and guiding. They had a great teacher, a great apostle involved teaching them how to go. And then these people came in and snuck in and started telling them, well, you know, you can't go by that. You got to go by this and go by that. Let me tell you, what saved you will keep you.
That's right.
Yeah. If you will grow in God, he that has begun a good work in you is able to perform to the day of Jesus Christ. Right. Stay out of these. Stay away from, you know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Yes.
And they're around today. Yes. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That's all these things that they add on instead of giving you Christ. They make your church experience not be a great one because they lay all this on you. Now, there's an antithesis to the Pharisees, and that's the devil. Yes. He makes your church experience not be a good one because he keeps trying to give you the world.
Yes.
You're caught between a rock and a hard place, and that person in between is Jesus. And that's where you need to go. So Paul tells them, and I'm almost done. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. In other words, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He set them free from sin and death and set them free from bondage. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Remember, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this world. Remember that? He's telling them, don't get wrapped up in that again. Come out of it. Where were they wrapped up in it before? In idolatry. Mm. So he's telling them, come out of that. Yes. He says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3. And about verse number 15. But even unto this day when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. In other words, among the Jewish people, they can't see past Moses. Always there in the law. Some of us, some people are very old now. They're in their 70s, 80s, 90s. They can't see past what they grew up in. Can't see past the times that they grew up in. Can't see past the generation they grew up in. God hasn't changed, but people are in different generations. People have changed. The way you can't, what if somebody takes a paddle and spanks one of Sister Gamble's kids, she go down there and spank them. You can't do that anymore. When I was growing up, you could do that all day long.
Yes.
And parents would spank you for getting spanked.
Yes.
Now, it's an issue now where you can't even grab your own kid in Walmart. Somebody will say you're abusing your child. Times have changed. Well, you say, well, it's my child, I grab him if I want to. You better figure out how to learn to talk to them.
Yes.
Because it's not worth your time to have to go down to anywhere to explain why you yanked your child's ear. It's easier for you to be a good parent in the home and teach them how to behave so you can talk to them in public than it is for you to say, well, they get ugly with me in public, I get ugly with them. Not as ugly as the laws will these days.
Yes, right.
You better figure out how to work that out because this is a different time. It's another thing as far as literacy is concerned. We can have our children these days. I used to believe, you know, every child needs to sit on the front row and they need to be there in all church and everything else. No, if they're not learning anything. And if all your sermons are about, you know, issues about being in this church and being this and being that, and you're not teaching them the word of God, somewhere along the line they need to be schooled about who Jesus is and how to be in Christ and how to grow in Christ and how to hold on to Christ. And besides all that, all our kids who are over 6 at least, if not 5 and 4, can read.
Yes.
And here it is, you grew up in a church where the people in their 50s and 60s and couldn't read. Come on, the times have changed.
Right. Right, yes.
They have access to media now that you didn't have. You know, you lived back in the woods or wherever you were, the only voice you heard was your mother's and your father's. Now our children are influenced by so many other things, different things. It's time to figure out and step out, and you either work within the systems in it, or you don't work at all. And so all this, you know, you're in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, and you're going to still hold on to everything you did when you were growing up? No, that's not the Lord.
No, it's not the Lord.
Not in that regard. No. The Word of God is true, but you need to come forward. Well, the Jewish believers were the same way. They showed up in Galatia as fast as Paul could preach. Here they come. Telling everybody how they need to be just like they were for Abraham's day. Jesus has come. And he's trying to say to them, but this is a new day. The law has been away with. God hasn't changed. Holiness hasn't changed. Righteousness hasn't changed. But the administration of the gospel has changed. You don't have to go into the temple anymore, told the woman at the well. He told her, you don't have to go down to Jerusalem anymore to worship. You can worship right here in Samaria. You don't have to go up to the Mount Gerizim. You can worship right here in Samaria. When you get on your knees, you don't have to bring an offering to the priest and have him go in and offer it up in the tabernacle. You have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside.
Right.
You can go before God yourself.
Right. Yes, yes.
He told them, we have a great high priest who's not Aaron and who's not Aaron's sons. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes.
He is our great high priest. He's the only one. And he has ascended into the heaven, not in the temples on earth, but into heaven itself to make intercession for us. We have such a great high priest. We need to come before him.
Yes,
he's not like the ones that were on earth who had to go in every year with the blood of rams and the blood of goats. But he went in one time with his own sinless blood, and it counts for everybody. We have such an one.
Yes.
But yet, unto them, they still kept the veil on, seeing through Moses. 16. Nevertheless, when Israel turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. 17, and I'm done. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as about the Spirit of the Lord. Saints of God, when the Holy Ghost comes in, he doesn't put you in bondage, he sets you free.
Yes.
When the Holy Ghost comes in, he works long and hard. You're in bondage until he shows up. And then he works to set you free. Everybody stand here. Everybody in here, who in here knows what a halfway house is? Raise your hand if you know what a halfway house is. You know what a halfway house is? A halfway house is there for people who either... It can be they're coming out of drugs or alcohol. It can be they're coming out of prison. Whatever it is. It helps them transition back into normal society. That's what a halfway house is. The Holy Ghost is your halfway house.
Yes.
He helps you transition.
Yes.
From a life of sin to a life of God. The Holy Ghost is your he's the one who changes you. This is what the scripture says.
Yes.
We're changed from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you find an inmate or a person who's on with a drug program and they won't stay in the halfway house, won't go along with it, won't put up with it, they want to go back to their old life, they just fall back into what they came out of.
Yes, that's right.
But the ones who will work with the program and stay and work through, they can make it so they can assimilate themselves and go back out to society. If you will work with the Holy Ghost, he comes in. You're set free. Now he comes in to assimilate you. You've been changed. You really are saved. You're a new creature. You're born again. But he comes in to help you fit into this new life that you do not know. He gets you to understand that righteousness is better than unrighteousness. Holiness is better than unholiness. He's the one who teaches you to love God. When you're saved, you know, the Holy Ghost is the one who comes in and gives you the love of God. He does that. But you limit him depending on how much love you insist on keeping for things that are not God. Just depend. Remember I told you about those weeds this morning? If I don't get rid of those weeds while they're on a small patch, they will eventually take over my whole lawn. And if you don't let the Holy Ghost come in and take the weeds out of you, eventually they will take over everything God has given. And you'll be right back where you were, in sin and lost and on your way to hell. And you can sit in church and do that. If you're not careful, you can make yourself a church sinner. That's another scripture in Sardis where he tells him, he says, you have a reputation that you have life, but actually you're dead. Everybody have a chance. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, even this day, Lord, let us give us a mind to recommit ourselves unto you. Lord, that we would be a vessel of honor. Lord, let us depart from iniquity, the evil things that we do, the evil things that we come in contact with. Lord, the evil things that take us away from you. Lord, let us get away from those things and turn ourselves away from them. Lord, that we would be a vessel of honor in the house of God. Someone, Lord, who's upholding the bloodstained banner. Let us detangle ourselves, bring ourselves out of the things, Lord, the weeds that are wrapping around our heads, oh God. The thorns that are choking the life out of us, oh God. Lord, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, oh God. Lord, let us embrace the word of God. The things that be of God, the house of God, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let us draw nigh unto you, Lord, and let us desire the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, things that come from God. Lord, give us a mind, Lord, to yield our affections and our desires unto you, O God, and to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Lord, renew my mind.
Lord, renew my mind.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, give me a new mind. Give me a new heart, O God. Lord, renew my affections. Lord, purge my affections by the burning fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, purge my conscience with the blood of Jesus, O God. Come in, O God, come in. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, you stretch forth your hand this morning and touch Ellen Boyd Harrison. Lord, give her a miracle. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, give her a miracle, Lord. Lord, touch Ellen Rogers this morning. Lord, it's been long standing. She's like the woman bowed over in her body. But Lord, ought not she be healed? Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells in her. Lord, come in this morning. Touch her in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Ellen Jenkins this morning, oh God. Lord, give her a miracle, Lord, that people don't expect. Lord, give her a notable miracle. Lord, where people have given up and accepted as being the way that it is. Lord, not so. Lord, give her a miracle today. Lord, give her perfect soundness in the name of Jesus. Move among every one of us, among the elder elves and sister elves, among everybody in Promised Church this morning. Move among us. Lord, heal the spirit of Christ. Go in and heal them, O God. Lord, they say among themselves that they're all right, but Lord, you know they're not. Lord, go in and heal them. Stretch forth thy hand of mercy, O God. Lord, touch their hearts and touch their minds, O God, in a way that only you can do, Lord, and lift them up in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, set the church of living God in order. The Lord, your way is right. Lord, set us in order. Come in, O God. I'm not afraid to ask for the order that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, set it in order, O God. And Lord, shake it wherever it needs to be shaken and set it in order, O God. Lord, that it would do all things according to your will. Not the will of man, but the will of God. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, send men and women into Promised Church and save them in Jesus' name. Add them to you, Lord. Add them to us, oh God. Lord, bless us financially, oh God. And see us through. Lord, add to us, oh God. Add to us in spirit. Lord, add to us in prosperity. Lord, in every way, Lord, you're able to add. Add to our joy. Add to our peace, oh God. Add to our health. Add to us, oh God, all that you're able to give. Strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. Lord, bless us above all that we're able to ask or think. And Lord, we'll claim to you. Lord, we'll forever bless your name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember, Sister Sturgis, keep her on the highway to keep her safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, keep Zara and keep Aaron today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the people of God, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And give the Lord a hand this morning. We've timed our air out here. That's my signal. It's getting hot in town. Isn't that nifty? You
know, y'all want to go to a church where the air goes on one night, that way the man gets long. You know, because if you got the wrong preacher, they just take off their coats and, I ain't scared to be hot.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you keep messing around, you're going to be hot for real forever. Be back on Tuesday night for Tuesday night Bible study, and we're looking for everyone to come. If you're able to come to the house of God, please come. We start at 7 o'clock, and we do start at 7 because we have people on Zoom that I really appreciate, like Ella Rogers and Ella Hass and all of them who are on the East Coast, and Ella Jenkins. And at our 7 o'clock, they're 8 o'clock. And 8 o'clock is late enough for anybody to start church. Bible study, anything else. Matter of fact, that's pretty late. If it wasn't for having the saints here, make sure that they were able to get home from work and get themselves turned around. I really start at 6:30 or 6 o'clock, but 7 works. But 7 o'clock is as late as you need to start anywhere, anytime. Because people do live, and it is Tuesday night. So I thank God for that. Then Friday night, we'll be back with our regular worship service. And of course, Sunday morning, we'll be here. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. And thank God for keeping all of us and getting everyone back. It's good to see you.